Good evening, New York. Thank you for tuning in to The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM here in New York and online everywhere at WNYU.org. I'm your host, Aria Young. So this is our first episode in a while. If you're a regular listener of ours, you know that The Rundown has been on kind of a hiatus in the summer, but now that school is back in session, we are going to bring local alternative news for you every Wednesday from 7 to 7:30 p.m. So make sure you tune in. As the Associate News Director, I am so beyond excited to work with all our new reporters this semester. They're all just so nice and talented and driven. I know it's technically only my second week as the Associate News Director at WNYU, but I'm already like super proud of all the reporters that I work with, especially the new ones. So I think, I believe that this season is going to be Rundown's best season yet. So buckle up, listeners. And today we have four pieces, all from our new reporters. First, you will hear from three reporters about the recent railroad workers' strike that was brought to a conclusion by President Biden's New Deal. Then we will hear from Tara Kanuja about Columbia University's U.S. news ranking that dropped from second to the 18th in the country. After that, M. Ingram is going to tell us about the Marc Jacobs New York Fashion Week after party and its controversy. And to close us off, we will hear from Rogian Groves, who will be updating us on NYU's new policy that allows outside guests in dorms. So without further ado, our first story is about the national railroad strike that went on this year, which disrupted many aspects of our lives in the U.S. Tara Kanuja, Michael Batavia, and Liam Kahan have the story.
From WNYU 89.1 FM, I'm Michael Batavia.
I'm Liam Kahan.
And I'm Tara Kanuja.
For me, and for most people in the United States, the sound of a train whistling across the expansive Midwest signifies the passing of a great freight train bellowing its way on diesel power to bring goods from one cultural center to the next. According to the Association of American Railroads, around one-third of all U.S. exports move by rail, each along different private company routes to reach an outlet to the American oceans. For the NYU community, though, the interconnected long-distance freight routes across America act as key Amtrak corridors for connecting passengers between notable metropolitan areas, such as from New Orleans to Los Angeles, from Chicago to San Francisco, and from New York City to Miami. It is safe to say that if you didn't get to NYU by plane, you got here via Amtrak. All of these long-distance passenger routes depend on the routine running and maintenance of these freight routes. Amtrak only owns the tracks on the Northeast Corridor, the route between Boston and Washington, D.C. So what happens when freight workers threaten to strike, leaving thousands of people stranded with a canceled ticket and no direct ground transportation to their destination?
The crux of the freight strike relies on the strict and uncompromising working hours freight train employees have to face. Compared to the normal 9-to-5 schedules many Americans have, railroad workers have to be available nearly 24/7 to properly schedule trains and to ensure that people get to their destinations in a timely manner. Many employees are forced to work 14 hours a day to curry favor with their company and are very easily penalized for taking time off work, despite genuine reasons like a family emergency or an annual doctor's visit.
The president of one of the unions wrote in part, "The average American would not know that we get fired for going to the doctor. This one thing has our members most enraged."
The strike on Wednesday provoked Amtrak to cancel all long-distance passenger trains. These cancellations went into effect on Thursday, but further complications were luckily resolved later on that day. Thanks in part to the efforts of President Biden, freight companies made a tentative agreement with rail unions representing tens of thousands of employees. The tentative plan assures workers $50,000 in starting wages and an annual lump sum bonus of $5,000. Additionally, worker wages will increase by 14% and then by 24% over the next 5 years. The plan ensures time away from medical leave and visits and provides union railroad workers with voluntary and assigned days off. Biden, who considers himself a pro-union president, announced the plan early Thursday morning alongside Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation. This tentative contract will remain in place until a more long-term plan is devised and approved.
Whether it is apparent or not, our lives are dictated by the supply and demand services supported by America's freight industry. Accounting for more than a quarter of America's freight, rail transportation plays a significant role in U.S. transportation and economic services. As individuals in a large city, a nationwide railroad strike would severely limit our everyday lives. A disruption to U.S. railroad services would have drastic effects on the overall economy. Supply chain shutdown and shortages would lead to nationwide inflation. According to the New York Times, limited train freight services could lead to an economic collapse costing more than $2 billion per day. With limited transportation services, manufacturing companies would see an increase in cost and demand. Shortages of gasoline supply would lead to an increase in gas prices. Limited access to train transportation would cause an agricultural shortage. And without a guaranteed method for the transportation of coal, electricity supply would be severely limited. The awareness brought to the rail services by the prospect of a railroad strike serves as a precedent for how we should approach thinking about the U.S. freight industry, especially as students living in a large city. So while we no longer have to worry about Amtrak cancellations, it's important that we remain cognizant of all the ways that the U.S. benefits from the freight industry and its workers. For WNYU 89.1 FM, this is Tara Kanuja,
Liam Kahan,
and Michael Batavia.
Okay, thank you, Tara, Michael, and Liam. Next up is a story about Columbia University, the supposed rival of NYU. So the U.S. News National College Rankings came out recently, and Columbia dropped from the second place to the 18th in the country. Tara Kanuja has the story.
For WNYU 89.1, this is Tara Kanuja. Because of its own whistleblower, Columbia University, the prestigious Ivy League located in Upper Manhattan, has recently dropped in rankings on the U.S. News & World Report's list of the nation's best colleges. NYU's longtime rival and neighbor to the north fell from spot 2 to spot 18 after Columbia mathematics professor Michael Thaddeus posted a shocking discovery on his department page. What Thaddeus found was that Columbia had misrepresented two common datasets sent to the U.S. News & World Reports in 2021. The first faulty dataset initially stated that 82.5% of Columbia's classes consisted of less than 20 people, when in reality, only 57% of Columbia's classes are made up of less than 20 individuals. The other common dataset claimed that 100% of Columbia's faculty had their terminal degrees, when that number is actually closer to 95%. Professor Thaddeus reported the misinformation to shine some light on the, quote, bogus rankings that is the U.S. News & World Report's best colleges list. Upon confirming the validity of his claim, U.S. News & World Report kicked Columbia down 16 spots, where it currently remains tied with the University of Notre Dame. According to the U.S. News & World Report's websites, rankings are determined by a multitude of factors. Most criteria are what you'd expect. Rankings are determined by graduation and retention rate, standardized test scores, and student performance. Yet also considered in these rankings are things like alumni donations and undergraduate reputation. With alumni donations being factored into a college's ranking, it's easy to see why Thaddeus and other critics may consider these lists bogus. But if we continue to follow and validate the U.S. News & World Report rankings, how bogus are they really? To discuss this question and hear her thoughts about the university's sudden drop, I called up Emma, a mutual acquaintance and current junior at Columbia University.
Definitely, I think that prestige and rank played a very big role in my decision to go to Columbia.
Both Emma and I agreed that prestige and reputation are important factors in the college process and played significant roles in our decisions to attend our respective universities. Yet Columbia's drop from spot 2 to spot 18 reminds us that while significant, these rankings aren't everything. Because despite its plummet, Columbia is still the same school with the same resources and the same reputation. So for prospective students applying to colleges, it's important not to get too caught up in the numbers and statistics that you find online.
I think that when you're choosing a university in undergrad, and like this is advice that I've given to a lot of people who are in high school, like you need to choose the university that you see yourself happiest at. Like, it shouldn't be for name or prestige, but it should definitely be that you feel the culture reflects who you are as an individual.
Emma's advice about choosing a university that you are stimulated and excited by is advice that prospective students should listen to when applying to colleges. Because ultimately, the quality of our education is determined by us and the effort that we are willing to put into the things that interest us. For WNYU 89.1, this is Tara Kanuja.
From WNYU 89.1 FM, I'm Michael Batavia.
I'm Liam Kahan.
Sorry about the autoplay, but in other news, you may have heard or you may have noticed a greater influx of fashionable people walking around campus last week as designers and models flocked to New York for New York Fashion Week. So in fashion-related news, here's M. Ingram with the story.
With New York Fashion Week Spring-Summer 2023 now over, it's hard to gauge what was more memorable, the runway shows or their viral after-parties. Hi, I'm Em with WNYU's The Rundown, and today I want to talk about Heaven by Marc Jacobs. It seems this year there was no trendier brand nor after-party than that of Heaven by Marc Jacobs. Launched in September 2020 amidst the pandemic, the Heaven line was Marc Jacobs and Director of Special Projects Ava Neary's brainchild for roping in the next generation of fashion influencers. Playing into the rise of nostalgia for fashion and aesthetics of the 90s and early 2000s, Vogue has described the line as being inspired by teenage dream fashion. The line features grungy, colorful, eclectic, post-ironic, Harajuku-esque designs. Geez, that's an unpleasant mouthful. Prices for Heaven range from $45 to $400, and the line includes every kind of item imaginable, from baby tees with phrases like more teen angst, to patterned sweaters, kiki boots, graphic hoodies, mini skirts, their infamous dual-headed teddy bear bags, to even CDs, jewelry, and all sorts of other knickknacks and random items that would fill every maximalist teenager's dream room. Heaven plays off of every micro-trend and fashion concept that is circulating in semi-pop culture. Basically, whatever the quote-unquote cool kids are into gets thrown into the aesthetic amalgamation that is Heaven by Marc Jacobs. Marc Jacobs has also had immense success with the Heaven line through his collaboration with up-and-coming icons, primarily semi-niche yet widely popular musical talent. This includes recent collaborations with Blade of the collective Drain Gang, with the recent line Blade X Marc Jacobs. Echo 2K, Young Lean, Steve Lacy, Dev Hynes, Nicki Minaj, Sky Ferreira have also all been models for the brand, and the list goes on. Additionally to collaborations and modeling opportunities, Marc Jacobs has been hosting Heaven raves like the one that occurred on Saturday of New York Fashion Week with big names in the music industry. This most recent party was Doja Cat and Charlie XCX and was hosted at one of the trendiest clubs in Brooklyn called Elsewhere. Everyone who's relevant was there, everyone who wanted to be relevant was fighting for their life to get in, and everyone who wishes they still were relevant attended to become relevant once more. Jared Leto, Madonna, I'm pointing to you. The sensationalization and trendiness of Heaven has entirely encapsulated a portion of Gen Z, and otherwise, whose fascination with the brand makes them entirely gleam over serious matters like cultural appropriation. In a video posted mid-Fashion Week, user @loveyourgerms on TikTok made a nichely viral video calling out the brand for capitalizing on the rise in popularity of Orientalism in fashion and aesthetics.
And it like blows my mind how they have just like known what is gonna be popular and what's going to draw attention from this specific like subgroup of the internet. Like it is such a targeted demographic, and it's crazy that it has actually succeeded. As an Asian person, I feel like it's so fascinating seeing the increasing presence of like almost every integral piece of Asian subculture being Heaven by Marc Jacobified. Like from Yayoi Kusama to like Hysteric Glamour / like Fruits Magazine-esque shoots and like styles to most recently Wong Kar Wai, which literally felt like a stab in the heart. Marc Jacobs is like really, really profiting off this like trend of Orientalism, because it is a trend. Like Asian, being Asian is like so in right now. I don't know, like we're tired.
Marc Jacobs is no stranger to profiting off of cultural appropriation and the trendiness of certain races in fashion. He's done it before. Previously, during an interview following his show at Paris Fashion Week 2011, he even bluntly admitted that he, quote, loves exoticism and the way Paris embraces Orientalism, end quote. There have been similarly niche, viral videos complaining about the TikTokification of Fashion Week, or the rise of influencers walking the runway and participating in Fashion Week. For brands like Heaven, TikTokification serves not only to continuously expand their trendiness, but further distract consumers from recognizing appropriation and Orientalism. Discourse regarding the accessibility of high fashion and affordable luxuries teeters on a fine line. While expanding and diversifying high fashion is good, in actuality, brands like Heaven by Marc Jacobs just cast a wide enough net to rope more people into the same old, toxic, high fashion conditions. With WNYU's The Rundown, this has been M. Thanks for listening.
In campus news this week, recently, NYU announced its new policy of allowing guests entry into NYU dorms and buildings. Rujin Groves deep dives into the minds of freshmen to understand how being able to have guests will influence their experience here at NYU.
A highly anticipated announcement among students from NYU was released this past Tuesday, September 13th, that outlined that students who are dorming on campus can now have non-NYU guests come into their dorms, as well as go into buildings with NYU affiliation. To comply with these newly released guidelines, it is required that the non-NYU guests must submit their vaccination history at least 3 days in advance of their visit, as well as present a valid Violet Go Pass, much like students' requirement to do so when entering each building. With this guest, NYU students must also sign in and sign out their guests at the start and end of the visit. These guests may also spend the night in dorms and even be given their own type of ID, which allows them access to the permitted buildings without the company of their NYU-affiliated person. This fresh development created an outpour of support and happiness among students, especially freshmen. Immediately, news spread like a wildfire over social media, with students reposts from the Washington Square News Instagram page outlining the visitor policy. Students posted responses on their Instagram stories with remarks such as, "rejoicing," as well as, "I can't wait to have people spend the night." To truly understand how the freshmen of NYU are feeling about being in a new environment and the possibility of having friends from home come visit them, I spoke to some of the residents of University Hall and Third North, both all freshman dorms, to understand how first-year students feel about this development. How do you feel about having people from outside of NYU be able to come stay in the dorms?
I'm super excited to get to have people come over and see what city life is like, because we know hotels are expensive. But I'm a little nervous about having people I don't know coming over and getting in my space.
I absolutely love it. A bunch of my friends are coming in the next couple of months, and I'm very excited to see them.
Well, personally, having best friends who go to separate schools that are still in New York, I think it's nice because we get to have them come look at our dorms, hang out in our dorms, and overall we get to meet new people who don't go to the school, because the city's so big and I think we have so many campuses around us that aren't just NYU, and so many people around us who don't go to just NYU, so it's nice to meet those people.
To further understand the current mindset of freshmen and how it could change with this new development, I pose the further questions of, do you have any plans of bringing anyone in, and how does this possibly help your time here at NYU feel more comfortable?
Yeah, my friend who actually goes to Parsons is gonna start coming over all the time. We would invite him over, but then we realized since he doesn't have the NYU ID, that's not manageable. So now he can come over whenever he wants, which will be nice. And then I have friends who go to Syracuse who are gonna come down and stay with me for weekends, and friends come visit. I think it's just nice because you get to see people who you're comfortable with and who you grew up with, and then get to meet your new friends, and overall you're just expanding your world and keeping in touch with people who mean a lot to you.
I am bringing a couple of friends over the next couple of months, and it makes me feel very nice. Like, I really love being able to see friends from high school, and it's gonna make me feel much better.
Yes, I plan on having one of my childhood best friends come visit me, and I guess this gives me a sense of familiarity and comfort while she's here.
As you heard, those freshmen are beaming with support and happiness at the news. Although having people from outside of school be able to come into NYU spaces poses a new potential risk of spreading COVID, students are ecstatic nonetheless to have their friends over and to meet new people along the way. For the rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM, this has been Rojean Groves.
And that's going to do it for us here tonight. If you liked what you heard or want to hear something different, or if you want to submit a tip for a story, you can email us at news@wnyu.org. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I will be here next Wednesday, 7 p.m. to bring you more local alternative news. I'm Aria Yang, and this has been The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM.